Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Intuitive Stardust. It has been a minute. Life has, been a little crazy, but good, not in a bad way, just busy. And I am super, super, super excited to actually share this episode. It's actually a two-part. This is part one of a two-part episode, I guess, or two episodes, however you want to call it. I had mentioned a while back that I had some friends lined up that I wanted to have on my podcast, and my beautiful friend Kelsey and I finally got the opportunity to record. And we actually got to record together in person, which was super fun. She lives 4 hours from me, and I was recently there visiting her, and we made the most of our time. We used our time very efficiently, and we were actually in the car together. So there is, some background sounds, but hopefully you will be able to look past that and just envision yourself riding in the car with us as we talk about so many things. I did pull a card for us for part one. I actually used my Sacred Rebels Oracle deck. I love this deck, and it was one of the first decks that really called to me that I ordered. I had won a deck, I had been gifted a deck, I had ordered another deck that ended up not resonating with me that I gifted to a friend. And this deck, the Sacred Rebels Oracle deck, the channeled messages are by Alana Fairchild, and the artwork is by Autumn Sky Morrison. I actually follow along Autumn's Etsy page because her artwork is just stunning. And if you're interested, you can definitely take a look at her Etsy page. I'm not, this isn't associated with me or anything like that. I just really love her artwork. So that's just personally something that I do. The channeled messages are a little bit longer, so without further ado, I am going to tell you about our card. Number 39, free from judgment, free to love. Imagine a world so infused with bliss, love, and wonder that you naturally and always feel as safe as a nourished, cherished baby in the arms of the universal mother. Life mothers us with kindness, and sometimes when we need it to grow through challenge as well. Accepting this mothering in its gentle and fierce faces can be difficult at times, yet there are those brave enough in spirit to go forth into their life path with absolute trust in the Universal Mother. Some are even part of her plan to help mother others so they too can surrender fear and live more freely. This oracle comes with a message for you. You are learning about mothering and being mothered. You might not do this in a typical way. It might be through bearing children, but it could also be through adopting children, raising children, or otherwise taking care of children and loving them as if they were your own. You might also be learning how to mother on a rather different scale, working with groups, committees, causes, or purposes that need your devotion, your energy, your belief in their value, and your willingness to be the wild tigress or the supportive shoulder to lean upon in order to bring those worthwhile groups to life. You may also be an aspect of the Universal Mother on a spiritual level. Some people that do this are male, some are female. Some have children and some do not. Some are healers and some work in seemingly more ordinary professions. They have a mothering aspect in common and they love and respect life. They believe in life. They are moved by compassion and are genuinely encouraging and respectful of people. Rather than taking perverse delight when someone stumbles, they want to help. They are ordinary people with an extraordinary natural tendency to nurture life around them. This oracle brings you confirmation that you are amongst the Universal Mother's special clan of nurturing spirits that help to honor life on this planet. You are also being asked to open up to receive more nurturing. You can do this for yourself. You can also choose to open up and allow others to nurture you. It might make you feel a little vulnerable at first, especially if you are not used to doing this, but you don't have to worry. You will get used to valuing yourself enough to know that needing love and affection from another is an opportunity, not only for you to receive, but for someone else to give, which involves them receiving too. If you are tired and have been taking care of everyone else, then take some time to shift the pattern and allow life to support you too. The Universal Mother helps the helpers so they can keep helping. It works rather well, you see, for those that give so much to also receive abundantly. If you have been asking life for a solution to a specific difficulty you have been having, this oracle comes with the message that a solution is in gestation right now. The situation is already being sorted out and the resolution will come to fruition very soon. Hold tight and wait for the imminent birth of that resolution. This is also confirmation. If you are interested in working with children, the inner child, with art therapy for emotional healing, or any sort of uninhibited creative expression that helps dislodge social conditioning and open one up to more spontaneous, feeling-based existence, then yes, go ahead and do it. The Universal Mother is supporting you, and you cannot get a more powerful ally. This oracle also brings you a message about love. You may find that you are loving or soon will love in a different way. You may worry about this love given that it defies what you have known or been taught about love. Perhaps you are becoming able to love another tremendously, even though you don't have much of a personal relationship with them. You might question if this love is real. It is real. It is just happening at a different level to the love and attachment you experience when you are involved in a personal relationship with someone. It is not more or less. It is just a different facet of love. It may be that you are opening up to love the planet and her creatures, including the animals, the ocean-dwelling life, your own body, the trees, and so on, more than before. You may feel passionately purposeful about giving your time and energy to causes that protect and nurture the earth and her creatures. You are affirmed in this love too. The Universal Mother is operating through you to nurture life. She will support you in your work so that you can continue to come from love and not become drained, depleted, or lost in despair or fear of futility. Instead, you will be energized and expanded by your dedicated service to life. Finally, this oracle has a message for you, for those who may be feeling alone or lonely and in need of greater nurturing from others. You are asked to stop, relax, center, and settle into your body to feel your connection with life itself. The air in your lungs is the same air that moves the trees. The water in your blood is the same water that fills the oceans and is moved by the phases of the moon. The flesh of your body is the same substance as the body of the earth itself. The heat in your digestive system is the same fire and heat as that from the sun. Feel this connection, then do something nice for another without agenda. Make a donation, even just a small one. Smile, say a prayer, send out a good thought, or make a wish for another. That's it. You have connected to life again, and in doing so, life can connect with you. And so it shall. Healing process. Place your hand over your lower belly and say the following. I now release from my body, mind and heart, any negative mothering experiences that would prevent me from receiving the healing grace, love, and support of the Universal Mother through the natural flow of life. May I be blessed and held in her loving embrace. So that I may grow into all that I am. So be it. Breathe in and out. As you breathe in, imagine you are drawing in the healing love of the Universal Mother. As you breathe out, feel your body release negative energy. You don't need to be conscious of exactly what is being released. You might sense the release as emotion or as a sludge leaving the body, and then you might not sense anything at all. Whatever happens is your own process and is just right for you. Remember, if you cannot sense it consciously, something is happening at a level below conscious awareness. You can still have confidence that the process is working for you in the best way. Relax, and when you feel ready, simply place your hands on your heart and send love for a moment, then return to your day or evening. I just adore this deck. It's very special to me. I don't believe I've shared it on the podcast yet. But each card has a healing process, and the healing processes are just beautiful. So, if that resonated with you, you can always rewind, go back, listen to it again as many times as you need to, so that you can work through that release and open yourself up to receiving. So, without further ado, I am going to hand it over to part one of my very special conversation with my dear friend Kelsey. We talk about so many different things. So I don't really know how to categorize it. We just decided to go with the flow and talk about what came up and tell the story about how we met and the beauty around where we met, and I also talk about my Reiki teacher by name. Her name is Jerianne, and I will share her page as well as my friend Kelsey's page, and we also talk about my dear friend Sarah as well. So I will share everyone's pages that we bring up in the notes. And on my Instagram page, I will also share, I will make a post and share some of the photographs that we talk about. I'll probably just make one post about all of the different photographs that we're talking about in I might have to make two. That's wrong. I might have to make two. But we mentioned a lot of different photographs because photographs is something that comes up. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope that you're able to be transported in our travels with us as though you are riding in the back seat with us as we go on our magical adventure. So without further ado, here is Kelsey and myself. Okay, I would like to welcome my very dear friend, Kelsey, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Kelsey and I are currently driving, so if you hear the noise in the background, that's what it is. We are on a magical breast milk adventure.
We are. We are going to pick up 700 ounces of donor milk for our son that is due in 3 weeks.
Which brings your total of manifested breast milk to how much?
Close to 10,000.
Oh my gosh. 10,000 ounces.
And it's four amazing. Freezers. Four deep freezers.
And then we find out that there's like a formula shortage going on.
Right. Yeah. So we started collecting right before this formula shortage happened. And yeah.
Oh my. Okay. So let's go into how we met.
Yeah. So last summer, so June 2021, Anne and I ended up on the same retreat. Mm-hmm. We were connected through our friend Jerry Ann, and I had only met Jerry Ann once. You live in the same town as her, and yep. She got this group of healers together. In Ohio Pile.
Yep. And I missed the waterfall. It was too early.
But we had a magical coffee moment. So, like, the Friday that we got there, we were all very nervous, very, a lot of energy, and then we all kind of broke the ice and spilled our souls so we could get to know each other.
And cried. A lot.
And then stayed up too late doing all the things.
Yep.
But Saturday morning, we were ready to go to this waterfall hike. And
well, you were.
I was.
I woke up. When I woke up, I stayed up until, like, what was it, like 1:15 or something? And then I woke up at like 5:17 and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And so I stopped, I trudged out to the kitchen. And then you came upstairs at like about the same time, uh-huh. Right? Okay, so go ahead.
So we were, the only thing we needed was coffee because neither of us were functioning. So I see Anne like in the corner with this coffee maker and I was like, oh, are you making coffee? So yeah, we're just small talking and we're standing there a really long time. And I'm like, why is this coffee maker?
I was like, what's happening?
Not working.
It's not working. I don't know what's happening.
So Anne had put the water in the wrong side. Like, so it had a carafe and then it had like a single use and she had put the water in the single use. And so we were trying to make a carafe with no water.
We're like standing there just watching it. Nothing's happening. But also I should say too, like, I remember the night before, which was like the evening that we had all traveled there, I remember seeing Kelsey, like, we had all connected on social media before, and Kelsey was always like the quietest one in like the group chat, and she was like this mystery to me.
And I knew no one, and I was like, I'm just gonna observe them all.
And so I was like, you know, trying to give you space and like check you out and see like, what was that?
Your phone slipped. Oops. You're good.
I was trying to like check you out and see like where you were at and like if you were open to like get to know each other or, and I remember watching you after dinner, like, vigorously putting the food away and wiping the counters down and like cleaning the kitchen, and I was like, okay, she has her walls up, so we're just gonna let her keep her walls up until she's ready to take them down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I was like, if I can keep myself busy, I do not have to like
think
or like talk
or feel
or feel Because that was even before, like, we got to know each other. I was just like, I came there to help, and that, like, that's what I do. I, like, mother everyone, mm-hmm. and I take care of the food and the cleanup so everyone else can enjoy it so I don't have to mm-hmm. feel. Mm-hmm. But you saw right through it.
Well, there's a reason why I saw right through it, because I've been there. And for whatever reason, I'm not a person that really enjoys to clean. Not that anybody really enjoys it. I mean, some people do, but I am like a person that when I am emotional and upset, then I clean, and I clean like emotionally. lots of times it's anger that I feel, when I'm like, if I get mad, I'm like, I just start organizing things and cleaning mm-hmm. things. And so I saw it because I've been there and I yeah. felt it.
And that's totally what it was. I was like, if I stop, I'm going to cry yep. because 2 weeks prior I had just miscarried and I was like, I don't know the, like Jerry Ann knew, mm-hmm. but I was like, I don't know any of these women, but I know I'm supposed to be here to do this healing work. But I also was very like, I don't want to do this right now,
yep.
but I know that's what I needed to do.
Yeah. Well, and I think like the majority of humans, they do that when it comes mm-hmm. to emotions. I think that's what causes so many issues with us as, you know, a human race, is that we don't allow ourselves to just feel it mm-hmm. and just let those feelings move through our bodies, right?
Right. Yeah, the uncomfortableness of sitting with it all.
Yeah, and I think that's something you and I both have really started to embrace in our lives. And it sucks. Like, it sucks to feel all of that stuff. But it also feels so good once you move through it and it doesn't stay with you.
Right.
And I think it's, like, really scary when you first start doing it because it hurts so much that you don't believe, you don't trust or believe right. that it's actually going to help you. But if you take that, like, leap of faith and you try it once, then you realize, once you're on the other side of it, how much more effective it was mm-hmm. than holding it in your body and letting it manifest as pains and aches and, you know, all sorts of crazy things, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just sitting in the shit for just a little bit. But it's, yeah, it is scary when you first start, because you're like, why would I do this to myself?
Yeah, it hurts. Like, we're taught, right? If it hurts, don't do it.
Right. Or run from it, or find some other way to get right. your mind off of it.
Exactly. But we've learned that if you're brave, and bravery means doing something in spite of being apprehensive, mm-hmm. right? When you're brave, you are actually afraid, but mm-hmm. you're doing it anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's so many things that we can talk about today.
After the coffee,
after the coffee, yes.
It like broke the ice. So then I was like, okay, like it wasn't even like, we didn't talk a lot. I think it was just that human moment of yeah. like, okay, like I see you.
It was like comforting in a way to see somebody make a mistake and then laugh, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But also, like, we desperately needed coffee, so we were going to wait there until it happened.
And we just watched it brew once we figured out what was wrong.
yeah, and so then, like, you stayed back for a little bit and
yeah.
went to the waterfall. And
I was so mad that I didn't go to the waterfall. I should have just gone to the freaking waterfall.
But that's another, like, magical story of ours.
It is. Like, there was a reason.
Yeah. So a couple months later, Anne came down and we had our own magical waterfall experience.
Yeah, so my regret about missing the waterfall. And honestly, so I did try to go back to Ohio Pile because I live about an hour and a half away from Ohio Pile, so I tried to go back the one day to the waterfall, and it was kind of like early afternoon, and there's just nowhere to park. There's mm-hmm. people there all day long. And so, like, the reason that it was early was valid because you can't really get there unless you get there early enough.
Right. Yeah, because there's nowhere, like, you're on the mountain, and you're either going to park at that spot or the upper spot, and and that's it.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to
walk. No, like, pull off on the side of the road up there either. Because it's, like, windy, twisty, hilly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so then the rest of the day, like, we get back from that, you all had your session, and you did, and I had done the work prior, so... I think I was also, like, anticipating, I just needed the rest. And so I was excited for you guys to get to experience what I had experienced already in the course.
Yeah.
But I was like, I just need to lay by the pool.
Yeah.
And just soak in the sun. And we all got very toasted and burnt, but it was,
So I got, like, my back got burnt, but it was only my back. I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. Some of the girls just looked like lobsters, but.
My back was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But once I put that salve on it from Allison, it got better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the magical part was just that night. We were getting ready to, like, go into ceremony. We had already had dinner. We were all dressed up and just in our essence.
Oh, and we were doing photography outside.
Yes.
Yes. There was a photographer there, and she kind of was like, does anybody have anything else that they want to do? And I don't know what made me say it, but there was this, like, fallen tree or, you know, cut down tree. And it was this giant, like, I don't know, was it an oak?
I think it was. It was huge.
It was huge. And I, like, jumped up on the log and was like, does anybody want to stand on this magical log with me?
Does anyone want to make magic with me?
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Does anyone want to make magic with me on this log or this tree or whatever it was I said? And then...
So I'm just standing there, and no one is saying anything.
Yeah, there was, like, this pregnant pause.
I was like,
nobody wants to make magic with me.
And I'm like, why does no one want to make magic with Anne? And I was like, I'll make magic with Anne. And so I, like, we hop up on this log, and then we're, like, looking at each other, and we're like, now what do we do?
Yeah.
we're on this log, and we're just waiting there to take a picture.
Yeah, we did a couple of things. We put our hands together, we put our heads back, couple other things. I don't know.
It was just but it was this magical moment of, like, we saw each other. So we're both projectors.
Yeah.
And I think going into that, like, we were both still learning about ourselves. Like, we were, like...
Well, and the first night we were there, because there were three projectors at the retreat. Our friend Sarah was there as well. And we all three sat by each other
in
the circle.
We did. And that was before Jerrianne had pointed out. Because... It's so funny because we had sat beside each other, and she's like, of course the three projectors sit beside each other so they can see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, like, just that recognition of, like, I felt like I already knew you and Sarah. So, like, we had that moment in the kitchen, and I'm like, this is, like, we don't even have to say anything.
It's interesting, too. Like, the more I learn about human design and the more I learn about being a projector, the more I realize that there's just something really easy and comforting about being around another projector that's, you know, working to live in their design. That's important because if someone's not living in their design, then it's hard to be around their energy.
Yeah.
Because they're working against themselves.
Right.
But yeah, it's really interesting to me because I have observed, like, what it's like when you and I spend time together, what it's like when Sarah and I spend time together, what it's like when the three of us are together, and it's just so easy.
Yeah, there's this ease to it, and there's this, like, I feel like we've been judged a significant portion of our life for not making our own energy and, like, needing that rest and making that important, or even just the way that we work.
Taught to feel shame and guilt over rest.
And, like, how we feel things, and, like, so deeply. And I think there's this misunderstanding. So, like, when we're in the presence of each other, it's just easy, and you don't even have to... we're seen, but there's also that internal acknowledgement of, like, I get it.
Well, and there's also, like, a misconception, I believe, too, about amongst generators especially, when it comes to projectors, because I've heard it referred to as projectors, like, steal generators' energy. And it's not that they, like, steal it. It's that they feel it. Mm-hmm. And so projectors are able to, like, when they're around a generator that is lit up and doing something because they're lit up and living in their design,
yeah,
it also gives the projector energy, too. It doesn't take any energy from the generator.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and, like, so the perfect example of that, and I didn't even realize this until we had this conversation this week. So I'm finishing some coursework to be a Montessori teacher, and I have just put it all off. Yep. Like, I put 9 essays off until the last week. And I remember telling Anne, I'm just not getting anything done at home. I need to go to my favorite coffee house. And she's explaining to me, she's explaining this as epiphany.
Yeah, I had an epiphany about it. Because, so Kelsey has, like, time and time again, like, messaged me and been like, oh, yeah, I'm doing some work at the coffee house. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she was always like, you know, there for an hour or two and, like, getting so much stuff done, which is a projector trait in the sense that projectors can be very efficient and effective in a short amount of time, mm-hmm. right? And the one epiphany that I had was that, like, projectors do put things off and procrastinate because, like,
we know we can do it.
We know we can do it, and it also is more, almost like it's more aligned because we have more time and rest between, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. And then I realized that you're at this coffee shop and there's all these amazing, beautiful generators coming in there getting caffeinated.
Yep. It was perfect because, like, we don't make our own energy. And it literally, like, the day I was there for, like, 2 hours and I knocked out 3 of these assignments. And that would have never gotten done at home because my daughter's a projector, my husband's a manifesting generator, so right. He's running around doing things and not sitting still long enough for me to feel into that. And right. So it's perfect because you have all these generators generating this energy in a coffee house because everyone's working or they're having deep conversations or they're just going in there to get caffeinated. And it's like this high. Like, yeah. I was so efficient. And so my final exam was yesterday and I was telling Anne, I was like, I really hope the girls in my training are generators because I would love to, like, have some of that energy while we're doing the final. And 2 days before, my professor messaged me and she was like, it's going to be virtual. You don't have to travel like 2 hours to take this.
Yep.
And she's like, here it is. And so that's what I did yesterday. And in an hour and a half, it was done.
That's so cool.
I was so like, cool. I manifested that.
Well, and it is, like, it also is important to note that, like, projectors in alignment and projectors living in their design are just innately more efficient when it mm-hmm. comes to working, but we can only do it for, like, 2 to 3 hours.
It's such a short period of time.
And then we're done. We're like, we need a nap.
Yeah.
Or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just that knowing yourself, like, and I think that's what I've figured out the last 2 years of this training is that I don't do 8-hour classes. I don't do all day work days. Like, it has to be in these teeny tiny bursts of energy and then it gets done.
Right.
That expectation of it just being go, go, go is, it's not aligned.
Yeah.
And then I get burnt out and it takes weeks and I think that's what I was experiencing was I was going so hard for so long. And then I was like, I don't have the space or the time or the energy to put work into this.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, okay. So
we had the magical log experience.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then ceremony that night was just beautiful. It was. And I think as a projector, it's extra special because everyone's seeing us. There was, like, we had a nurturing circle. There was lots of
projectors
Reiki.
Like to be seen.
Yes.
And so that's, but also, like, you also have to be, it's funny because projectors like to be seen, but they like to be seen for,
on their terms,
but for their gifts, for the things that they are proud of, for the things that they are comfortable and, like, stepping into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what that night was, is like we had gotten so deep on that Friday night where we're all bearing our souls. Like there's not a dry eye. We're basically like sharing our deepest soul wounds. But well, that was like the magic of the night, because you don't feel like you're the only one that is hurting in some way.
It was safe because everyone had some sort of pain.
Right.
That they were
like
bearing.
No one's life was perfect. No one's life was going exactly the way.
No one's life is.
No.
Yeah. Everyone has hurts and pains. And we live in a world where a lot of people's pains get trivialized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about being a victim. It's just about admitting that hurt you deeply.
Right.
Feeling it. And then moving on.
And I think there's this culture of almost like toxic positivity that goes around with that, because, I mean, for so long, like that, there, like things that were hurting in my life, I was like told you can't share that until you have like a victory around it. I'm like, but who's going to hold me in between?
Right.
Who's going to support me in between? And that's like the difference with this group of women is like, it's okay to be seen in your hurt, because like that's part of the healing is that community.
Right.
There's rainbows on your dad.
There are. It's from my your necklace. Vocal. Yeah. I've been watching them dance around. Well, and like back to like the toxic positivity. So what makes, because I've mentioned this before on the podcast, what makes it toxic is when you are feeling something and then you go, no, that's negative. I'm not allowed to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, how can I flip it around and make it positive? And it's like bypassing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you have to really let yourself feel it, but you can't get stuck, because that's when it causes problems, because it gets stuck in your body.
Yeah. Well, the feelings want to be acknowledged, and it's okay to sit with it for a little bit.
Right.
It's one thing, like bypassing it's not great, but sitting in it too long.
Mm-hmm.
And having it overcome you and not being able to step out of it.
Yeah.
Like the opposite end of it.
Well, I mean, I went through something really difficult this year, and I was letting myself feel it, and I was crying, and I was journaling, and I was trying to do all the things, and I was getting to the point where I was like, I don't want to feel this pain in my heart anymore. I just want to be done.
Yep.
I let myself feel it. Why won't it go away? Like, I was trying
all... I've done all the things.
Yes. I'm like, I only know so many things, and I tried them all. The journaling, though, so I'm really bad. I'm really bad about doing it regularly, but journaling is something that, without fail, has so much healing in it. And Sarah is magical with
she
journaling.
Is.
She has a degree in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she has really, like, she's helped, she's hosted an healer circle before, and she also, which is just a group of healers that meet once a month. But like, she's also done like free workshops before on her own. And, it's really, every time I've worked with her with journaling, there's been something magical that's happened. And so I try to remember that when it comes to times like that, where I'm feeling like, okay, I let myself feel this.
Right.
And I'm over it.
Like, now
all
what?
These rainbows, they're just going
they
to town.
They are going crazy. 9/11. Jerry Ann's number.
Oh, yeah. I always liked 7-Eleven, too.
7-Eleven's good.
Took my heart back to the South.
To Slurpees?
Yeah, to Slurpees. And summers with my grandma, with Nanny.
So we're getting ready to cross over. So I live in the western part of Virginia, and we're getting ready to cross into the Shenandoah National Park, which is where our magical waterfall experience.
Oh, so yeah. So my
yeah, so
regret.
This is one of the entrances.
Yeah, so my regret over missing the Ohio Pile waterfall led us to go on this magical adventure. I actually was on vacation last summer with my family, and we had gone like searching, like we did, both of us had gone searching for like other waterfalls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we found one that was like pretty relatively close to Kelsey's home. And I looked at my calendar, she looked at her calendar, and aside from the fact that it was my boy's birthday weekend, it was the day after their birthday, so I still got to spend their birthday with them, and then I was like, peace, the next day, to come here for us to hunt for a waterfall.
And I had just, so the day before the boy's birthday, I ended up in the emergency room. And so I was like, I hope that we can, like, I really had to, like, trust my body to do this hike, because it was a pretty significant hike.
Rumble strips. So I've gone quote unquote hiking. I never really called it hiking. I've walked often on trails. This is still two lanes for a while, right?
Yeah, this is two lanes until you get to the top.
Wanted to make sure. We're climbing a mountain now, folks. So and it's like twisting and winding, and there's two lanes to climb because, you know, there are poultry trucks around here that
cross the mountain to get to the, because it's literally like if you were to go around the entire mountain, it would take an hour and a half to get you to the exact same spot. That takes half the time, and it's 30 miles just to go straight over the mountain.
Yeah, it's beautiful though. I love it up here. And I, being from Western Pennsylvania, I'm familiar with climbing mountains, so it's all good. My dad is down in Williamsburg, so he's always like, you gotta be careful, driving on the mountains are dangerous. And I'm like,
when the cool thing about today is like, it's super foggy and there's no fog on the mountain. Like, before we got here, I was like, there's not gonna be any fog.
I drive on the mountains all the time, Dad. Like, yeah, I mean, you have to be,
you're gonna be fine,
you have to pay attention, but like he's so used to like flatness.
Well, like, you guys, like, your kids are like tide water. There's like, there's nothing.
Yeah, Williamsburg, I lovingly refer to it as the swamp.
Yes.
Because there's just so many, okay, we're at the top and now we're going down. The swamp, because there's so many like tributaries and rivers, and it's close to the bay. Is that wisteria? No, that's a tree.
Sorry. We're looking for some wisteria. Anne got here, and she's like, do you know where wisteria grows wildly?
So, there is wisteria that grows wild along the one highway that I take to travel basically anywhere south of where I live. And it's all in full bloom right now because it's springtime. And I was hoping, I have my good camera, as I call it, with me, and I was hoping to get some close-up
shots.
There
might be some on the other side of the mountain.
My mom actually has wisteria that, well, I always thought it came from, do you say Monticello or Monticello?
Monticello.
Either one. I've heard both. Well, I grew up literally in the South and the North at the same time my whole life, so.
Well, what was it, peonies this morning? So I was telling Anna.
Peonies and peonies.
I said, my peonies are getting ready to bloom, and she's like, uh-huh, and then this morning she walks up, and I said, see, my peonies, and she goes, oh, your peonies?
Peonies.
I was like, yeah.
It's funny. Well, but I've always been very, like, hyper-vigilant about the differences in speech, mm-hmm. because
you grew up in two different worlds.
I grew up in two different cultures. And it was awesome. Like, it was awesome to have both sets of ideals mm-hmm. and traditions and everything. But, it's just really, I don't know, I like it. I think it's cool. And it's a testament to how different areas are.
When you're, like, a bridge of those two.
Oh my gosh, there's the bridge again!
Yeah, like, you literally, like, from Virginia to Pennsylvania, like, you are that bridge, like, crossing over those two worlds. Because it is a different world. Like, when I go up to Pennsylvania, it just catches me sometimes mm-hmm. where I'm like, we're not that far. We're literally 4 hours apart, but it's, like, a different world up there, even though our towns look identical. Yeah. We both live in college towns.
Yep.
and, like, even this morning we were talking about the difference, and so. But they're so similar. Yeah. Like,
the population here is a little bit bigger, I think, but not by a lot.
It's literally the town. It's literally the college.
Well, that's why the population goes up. Our town has, I think, these numbers are, pre-COVID, post my graduation.
Yeah.
But pre the revamping of the campus, they revamped the campus and like made it so that there could be
more students.
Yeah. Tore down like the 1970s dorms that I lived in that had like asbestos in them or something, you know?
Yeah.
And made these really beautiful like suites. And then like invested all this money into the campus, and then COVID hit and like no one was there.
Yeah.
It was really crazy to see that.
Well, they were making that transition and the transition just kind of stalled out to where you didn't get to see.
But I think it was like 15,000. It's like approximately 15,000 in the town, and then enrollment was approximately 15,000. So our town would literally double overnight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's how our town is.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, COVID has hurt enrollment to a certain extent, but I think it's starting to climb back up again. I just don't know what the current numbers are.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was a little tangent. But yeah, you're right. There's so many similarities, yet so many differences. Like, we just crossed into Greene County.
Greene County, Virginia.
G-R-E-E-N-E.
So we have all the colors in this tent. Like, so I used to work nonprofit, and we used to joke that one of our friends had the color portfolio because she had green and orange. Green and orange are right beside each other. And then you have all of, like, the Dukes and the Lords. That's what Virginia's named after. There's Buckingham and Rockingham and...
Frederick.
We have Fredericksburg. Harrisonburg is named after someone. So...
Williamsburg.
Yeah. Jamestown.
Yeah. Well, in Pennsylvania, though, we also have Greene County.
But no E?
No, there is an E.
There is an E.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know. Correct me
Greene
if I'm wrong.
Greene County. They're the gateway to the Blue Ridge.
Greene County is in western Pennsylvania. It's south of Pittsburgh.
Ah.
Yeah. My husband's done a lot of work out there with his job. But anyways, so where were we at? We were talking about
birthday and the waterfall.
Oh, right. Let's finish that story.
What were you talking about first, though? So we can remember that.
Okay. So eventually I want to talk about the nurture circle. We're trying really hard to work our way up.
We are.
We decided, we had like a little like pre-recording meeting. I was like, okay, what are we going to talk about? I don't know, but there's lots to talk about. So we could just talk and see what comes out.
Yeah. The amount of rain. So last night we had this torrential downpour, and we decided to go out and get some groceries, and I ended up running over a nail because there's so much debris, and so we're in Anne's vehicle now going to get some milk. But the rain here is crazy. There's just like creeks where there's not supposed to be creeks over the
roads. Yeah. The roads have like just sections of like washed out gravel and whatever other debris is in the gravel, like nails.
That went in my tire. So we were getting ready to go, and Anne goes, oh my gosh, you have a flat tire. And I'm looking at the front, and I'm like, what is she looking at? Yeah. And then I look at the back, and I'm like, oh.
But like, thank goodness you got thank the flat goodness. In the driveway.
Absolutely. Yeah, instead of over the mountain and through the woods.
Right.
The last thing you were saying is that you've went on some hikes, that you've done some walks.
So anyways, like, we have some really nice trails in my area, and they're converted. They're like from the railroad tracks, like they're, and so like the railroad had shut down in our town, and then someone reopened it, but they had already built this trail where the tracks had been. So these trails are like beautifully flat. There is a slight elevation to them. But it's really gradual over time, so they're really nice for biking and
of course
walking, jogging, whatever. But that's what I've spent most of my quote unquote hikes on. And I never called them hikes, but like I had really never legitimately been on a hike before. So I get here and you're like, do you need trekking poles? And I'm like, I don't know, do I need trekking poles?
So my husband is a big hiker. So right before COVID hit, he just did a lot of internal work, and someone had recommended, like, why don't you get outside?
Yeah.
And but we were so busy working that our lives had wrapped into this chaotic mess of parenting a 2-year-old and working, and he's a firefighter, so his shifts are really long and really hard. And he took some time off and went out into the woods, and he just found this love for it. And then all of a sudden, it was like overnight, we get all this stuff. And he's like got 3 sets of trekking poles, and he's buying me like hiking boots because like I
enjoy sleeping bags
and hammocks and backpacks. And I was not quite ready for the transition. So when Anne came, he's like, I already have everything for Anne.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
he packed stuff for us.
And I did not tell Anne that that was my first hike without Tyler.
Until we were on the trail,
and I didn't tell her. So I have absolutely no sense of direction. I just don't pay enough attention because I'm so wrapped up in the experience.
You sound like my husband, because when I ask him, how do you go here or there? And he's like, you put it in the GPS and you follow the line.
That's exactly what I do. Like, even if I know where I'm going, it's that assurance. And so Tyler is my assurance. And,
I'm always the kind of person that's like, you go past the giant pine tree on the right, and then you take a left after you go around the sharp turn. If you're not careful, you'll miss it.
Right.
Like, that's how I've always been direction-wise. I'm very, like, in tune to my surroundings as opposed to... Mm-hmm. And honestly, I so appreciate being able to use, like, a GPS, and I love that it's so accessible on our phones. But I used to sometimes just drive and not know where I was going, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I would drive until I recognized where I was at. I would literally just go get lost.
Yeah.
On purpose. Like, of course I would make sure that I had, it's 66 degrees.
It is.
I would make sure I had gas and stuff, but like,
right.
I just, and I, before cell phones even, I would, sorry,
you're good. Turn
red.
This is the road where my brother-in-law's parents live. Stopped here.
That's funny. In any case.
But this was my, like, so we live near Shenandoah National Park, and it's beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
It's so beautiful, and it stretches from Front Royal down to Waynesboro, and kind of, it's along the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
And so we were looking for these specific spots, and this was only, like, my second or third, like, really big hike. It was my first where I'm like, I don't have my navigator, but there's no cell service up there, so I'm like, if we get lost, we are screwed. And so, like, Tyler has prepped enough to where, like, we had, like, this GPS satellite
turtle
thing to where, oh, don't run over it.
Okay,
everyone's moved. And, well, the person behind, they just swerved. He's good. He's safe. He will make it back over.
It's a little box turtle.
It is a little box turtle.
Okay, sorry.
You're good. And so we have this Zello. And so if you get in trouble, you can push the button and it pings the satellite and help comes.
And like helicopters come and
rescue.
People come rappelling out of helicopters.
But also, like, I had Tyler scope out the trails because we had just hiked Old Rag in May, and that about tore me up because it's the most, like,
it's like really
most
difficult.
Extensive hike in the Shenandoah National Park. There's rock scrambles, and I'm like, we are not doing that.
Yeah.
Because all summer, I had just been in pain, and it was right before my hysterectomy, and I was like, I do not trust the fact that we're going to go on this hike.
Meanwhile, Kelsey is using all of this terminology, like, beforehand. Like, she's just talking about rock scrambles, and she's talking about trekking poles, and I'm like, uh-huh.
I want to go see a waterfall.
I'm like, I don't know what that means, but okay.
So I asked Tyler for, like, some choices, and he was like, oh, Hazel Falls is going to be, he's like, it's labeled easy.
Yeah.
It can't be that hard.
Yeah.
And it had some difficult parts, but it was just, it was long.
Meanwhile, we both have Hazel eyes.
We do.
And they're, like, identical almost. Mm-hmm. They're virtually identical. I should share a picture of our eyes side by side. And we knew each other for, what, like, 8 months before we realized
Before we realized we both had hazel eyes.
Yeah. So, this is, like, looking back.
You're going
like
to turn...
In retrospect. Left, right?
No, you can keep going. It'll be okay.
But, yeah. So, I'm like, sure, I guess I'll take trekking poles. And Kelsey's like, yeah, they help with, like, you know, balance.
Oh, it wants you to U-turn. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
You can U-turn up here, and then you're going to... I thought I knew where I was going. I used to drive over here all the time, but...
Is this here?
Okay. Yeah, there's a UE here. And then you're going to take a right on Fredericksburg
Road.
This is
Road. Great. There's so many, like, double lane divided highways in Virginia. It's not like...
I thought we were going to go on 29, but... let's see... Yep, in point three, you're going to take, it's Route 609, Fredericksburg Road.
Okay, Fredericksburg.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just talking about that. Speak of the devil. So we go on this magical hike, right?
Yep, so right here.
And it's 2.5 miles down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey navigated the trailheads and the trail markers, like, beautifully. Because I didn't even know there was such
a thing. Like, I remember because
I was like, wow, this is so cool.
You're like, that stone is there. That's really nice. And I was like, yeah.
And look at these, like, aluminum plates
look
on it.
Look at the side of them. Because, like, so where we started out, there was, like, three trails. And there was this older couple there. And I don't know if they knew either because they had just kind of, like, so when you get into the park, there's limited signage. Like, they give you as much as possible, but the trails go to so many different places. And so when we got in there, I was like, hey, tell me which way is Hazel Falls. Because also when you get to the entrances, 333 on 33. And so I had asked her, I was like, which way to Hazel Falls? Because you can go north and south on this thing for miles and miles and miles. And so she pointed us the right direction. We got in the right parking lot.
I forgot about the older couple.
Yeah. Cause it was like, so we had stopped to like take pictures, because the fog was lifting.
Yes, I had my good camera.
You had your good camera. So this is also the thing. So Tyler's over here worried about trekking poles and Anne's like, we got to take my camera. And so we had also like packed our bags with like lots of goodies and
we had crystals,
and because we were going to just sit at the falls, like that. We didn't care what time it was because it was August. It was gonna be daylight until 9 o'clock, and we got there.
You guys hadn't had rain in how many days?
We were in the middle of a drought, and so it had been almost since retreat.
It had been forever.
It was so dry, and I'm like, we're going to get up to the mountain, and there's gonna
like
be
3 months or something.
Yeah, it was a long time. So like Tyler had stopped mowing. I think
the grass was all dying.
It was probably 6 weeks. It was a long time.
Yeah, it was really, really long time. So we found it, and you did beautifully. Like, you really did. Once, because I didn't know about like the little like rectangles of paint on trees. Like, they mark the trails with like, This trail's the purple trail, and this trail's the yellow trail. And I'm like,
I learned that the hard way on old rag. So
So I was like, this is great. I'm getting this full, all out like education about actual hiking trails, not just pretend ones.
Right.
So we get to this beautiful opening because we were like, wow, like it's been so dry, like the waterfall might be dried up.
Yeah.
So we get to this opening. We go down a relatively steep.
It's literally like rock steps.
It was
like I've never seen anything like it. Like, I've rock scrambled, but it literally was like steps, and it took you down another like cliff.
Wow, that's a beautiful house.
It is beautiful. The stone in the front.
Yeah.
And people were carrying their dogs. Like, we met a couple on the way back, and he was backpacking to train for the Appalachian Trail, and his couple friend, they live down the mountain on the other side, and so they had just met him at their house, but they had a dog, and like, they carried the dog down to the falls.
Yeah, because it was really, it was steep and uneven, and I was like, oh, this is why I need trekking poles.
Yes, yes. Like, or holding on to trees, and it wasn't because the majority of it was flat going down, and then we hiked back up, but it was for like that rock section where we just couldn't get.
But as soon as we got down the rocks, there was this like beautiful like rock face, and then there was on the other side, the opposite side of it was, like this stream.
Yeah.
And there were these big flat rocks like out in the middle of it, which I wonder now if it hadn't been over.
We're good.
If it hadn't been so dry, if we would have even been able to see.
I don't think we would have been able to because
I bet
like,
that's usually like right now, especially.
Yeah, it's probably covered.
It's probably covered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they were exposed. And so we sat down on these rocks. Like, we took our shoes off. We got out our water. We just, like, sat on these rocks.
And we thought that was the waterfall.
And we thought that the waterfall was pretty well dry.
Yeah. We were like, well, we made it.
And then we sat there for, like...
3 hours.
3 hours. And I remember we had all of these, like, elaborate plans, like, going into it. And we sat there and... sitting in the middle of that water, like, on the rock, like, we were so grounded that, like, yeah. We were just kind of like, wait, what were we supposed to be doing?
Well, because, like, part of the experience I had with the waterfall is, like, we hiked up to Cucumber Falls, and then there was no one there, and it was hot in June, and so it was, like, that morning, we, like, some of us had, like, worn our swimsuits, some of us didn't, and so we climbed up under the falls.
Yeah.
And, like, that was just it. We just let the water, like, wash over us. And, like, that was the experience. And so I think there was also that where we're like, okay, I had my bathing suit underneath. Like, we were all prepared to, like, take our clothes off and get under the waterfall.
And they're like, we were like, well, I guess we're going to sit in the middle of the stream instead.
Right, right.
And also another
at
reason
the stop
why we
sign,
were...
you're going to take a left.
Okay. Another reason why we were so grounded up there. Okay.
Yeah, all the way up there.
Was because we had also been hiking for 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
So, you know, really exercising and moving your body. But it was wonderful. We had, like, what was it? Cheese and crackers and summer sausage.
And sausage. And
left?
Yeah, left.
Okay.
And all types of crackers and, like, we basically had, like, a charcuterie board in our backpack.
Gummies.
We had some dried fruit.
Of course, water. Oh, that was the other thing. Our water had heated up because it was hot.
Yeah.
And so we took our water bottles and stuck them down in the creek.
There was, like, these little pockets of, like, rocks where we could, like, stick our stuff.
Oh. Okay. He's going to let me inch out here. Thank you. Sorry. These highways are...
It's like a divided highway where you can just stop in the middle of it.
Yeah. They're very common in the state of Virginia, if you are not familiar. Okay.
And then in 6.5 miles, okay, we're going to take a right on Orange Road.
Orange Road. Yeah, there's the colors again. So then there had been, what, this was like, there was an Indian family that showed up. And they had one bottle of water.
For four of them.
And we were like, ooh.
They literally came in, like, their street clothes.
Yeah, they didn't even have, like, the right...
No, I don't know what state they were from. They were RVing across the country, and they had just made a stop in Shenandoah National Park. Because they were telling us about their travels, and...
Yes, they were so
They had two,
sweet.
Like, teenage kids, and they were just like, we're going to go see the waterfall, like, so nonchalantly. Because I think when you just think of, like, a hike to a waterfall, I think people assume what you have experienced, where you're like, it's just a flat trail.
Yeah.
But in Virginia... It's not.
No, it's nothing, really not.
There's nothing flat about Western Virginia.
No. But it was funny because they kind of did the same thing we did. Like, they kind of seemed to assume.
Yeah, because they just kind of hung out there and then they left.
Yeah, they did.
Because we weren't the trail was not, there wasn't a ton of people. It was a beautiful day, but it was also the only day in, I see... It was the only day in probably, like, a month that had been less than 90 degrees. And so it was probably, like, 80 down in the valley. But when you get up on the mountains, it's 10 degrees less. So it was gorgeous. Like, it was sunny, but it was not hot. Like, we were sweating because we were exerting physical energy. But it wasn't sticky. Like, we weren't experiencing humidity. There was
it wasn't very humid, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put our bottles of water, like, to let the stream kind of go over it, and it cooled.
It did.
It cooled our water.
Because we weren't seeing anyone go either direction, because, like, when you got down the steps, there was the landing, and that's where we were, and no one else was, like, there was, like, a slight trail up to the right, but we were like, why would we go up there? It's probably a dead end.
Right.
No. Yeah. That's where the water, because then we also heard this barking. And we were like, where is this coming from? Like, no dogs
have
come around.
Well, okay, let's really just tell the truth here. We had to pee.
Yeah, yeah. And we, there was no, like, hidden spot where we were, so we were like, let's go higher.
And, like, people kind of kept coming to see the stream, and we were like, okay, we have to find somewhere. Somewhat.
Because we had drank all this water.
Yeah,
because
somewhat,
we bought four, like, bottles of water.
Hidden. So we kind of, like, had to stand guard for each other, and I noticed, while standing guard for you, this little yellow, like, rectangle painted on a tree. And I was like, what is that? Does that mean that there's a trail over here? And you were like, oh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we, after we relieved ourselves, we went up this narrow little, almost like it was, like, overgrown. It
yeah.
And then it opened up to, drum roll.
A waterfall.
Hazel
Falls.
3 hours later. We were literally sitting down from the waterfall for 3 hours and didn't know it was there.
But also the one, like, log next to the waterfall. So we're like, we put our backpacks there, Anne's getting some pictures, and I start seeing these, like, insects, and I'm like, what is happening? There was a yellow jacket's nest under this log near our backpacks.
That's
and
right.
We were calm, and so, like, literally sitting on that log.
Yep.
So we were meant to sit on that rock, not where the yellow jacket's nest was.
Yep.
But there was also, like, a cave up there, which was kind of cool. And so we saw some, like, that
little...
there
was this family with that dog barking, right?
Yeah.
And the dog went nuts when it saw us.
Uh-huh.
It was just, like, bark, 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 bark. And I looked at it at one point in time, and I was like, I said, I'm not afraid of you. And then it stopped barking.
Anne has this, like, magical, like,
I mean,
effect.
It started up again eventually.
Yeah, but it was, like, you're not afraid. Like, it's like my cat. Like, we were talking about this last night. I have this very aggressive little kitty. And
we're buddies.
There's, like, three people in the world that can touch Lily. And she just comes up to Anne and is like, please rub me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's because she's not afraid of her.
We also have an understanding. She knows that I respect her and her space.
Uh-huh.
So she respects me and my space.
She must be a projector.
She must be. Well, yeah.
So we get up to the waterfalls, and by that point, we're like, we hung out for a little bit, but also it was just a different experience. The energy was really different. The energy was really frantic up there with that family because there was this really weird power struggle dynamic between the husband and wife and the kids
that had brought the dog.
Because clearly one of them was not happy the dog was brought, and the other one was just like, I got to power through this. I brought
it
the dog.
It was dad, wasn't it? It was dad that was, like, irritated that the dog had come, and mom.
Uh-huh. And then mom was just, like, trying to get it to stop, but then also making dad do it because she could not control the dog, so.
Neither one of them really could, to be honest.
No.
And I just looked at that dog, and I was like, I am not afraid of you.
Like, stop barking so I can get some pictures of this waterfall. And, like, luckily they had kind of, like, I don't remember who left first, but we separated from them, which was nice because I'm like, we cannot handle
this barking
dog.
Okay, we just spent 3 hours with this calm,
peaceful,
like, grounded energy, just total magic. And then it was like, ooh.
Right. You're going to go through this light and then there'll be a right in about a mile.
Okay. So then we had, this was the worst part, and it wasn't really bad. Actually, that family might have been the worst part.
That was.
But the second to worst was having to hike 2.5 miles up the mountain to leave.
After we had just been, like, completely chill and had this great experience, and we're like, oh my God.
I was like, can't we, like, hike up the mountain to a waterfall and then back down?
Right. Because we were, like, in the valley. We had to go back up to the top of the parkway to get back to our car.
I was really out of shape, like, because I used to work out 3 days a week, and I need to get back into it, but I still haven't. But at the time, like, I was really out of shape because I hadn't really moved my body.
You're going to take a right. What are we doing? You're good.
I hadn't
half
really
mile.
Moved my body because everything got shut down and I couldn't go to my classes. And I could
have
done.
You're also carrying backpacks and trekking poles and food and water.
And a camera.
And crystals.
Crystals are heavy, dude.
Tyler's like, you know, your packs would have been, three tenths of a mile.
Okay.
It's Route 230, Orange Road.
Orange Road, that's right. Oh, orange, see? The arrow.
Yep. He was like, it would have been, because at one point I was like, my back's hurting. And he's like, you do know that if you hadn't brought all your rocks. And I was like, no, but we needed them for the experience.
We needed to take our rocks. They wanted to go.
They did.
They all wanted to go, but we couldn't have done that.
No.
But yeah, so I had to take breaks on the way up. I was like, hold on.
Which was perfect, because, like, snack and water and just rest, like, to get back through. And also, like, that's, like, the good thing is, like, when I hike, it's all the breaks. Like, Tyler's ready to go, but I felt like we paced ourselves enough to where, like, we could just enjoy it. Like, there were moments, like, when we were, like, stopping, we weren't saying anything. Yep. Like, we were talking on the trail, but then it was, like, just listening to the absolute silence.
And the amount of butterflies on the mountain were just...
And they're huge. They were huge.
Oh, my gosh. As big as your hand or bigger.
Yeah.
Like...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And like they were mostly swallowtails. Yeah. And then we saw the one. It was so sad. Somebody had stepped on a swallowtail.
Yeah.
And so it climbed. I like, extended the... like energetic invitation for it to come up my arm, and it climbed
it
in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And it climbed all the way up my arm, and so I put it on some flowers hoping that it could ease its crossing.
Yeah.
Ugh, it was so
that's
sad.
Like as we got back at 4:44, so we're like
getting to the
trail marker, and I'm like just collapsing on the trail marker. I'm like, I could kiss it. I'm so happy to see this
trail
marker.
We have a picture of her hugging the trail marker. But we get back up there, we like ease the passing of the swallowtail. It was one of the blue and black ones.
Uh-huh.
Because there are yellow and black, and there's blue and black that I've seen.
Yeah.
In this area. And we get up, and I grab, like, I for whatever reason, look down at my phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, it's like zero cell service. I took a screenshot. I still have
it.
And it's 4:44.
Yep.
I was like, oh my gosh!
The odds that we hiked all day. Because, like, we got there at probably, like, 10 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
We left pretty early in the morning.
It was amazing. It was one of the coolest things. And so that's why I didn't go... that's why I wasn't supposed to go to the waterfall at Ohio Pile. I still want to. Like, I still am drawn to go there because I really would like to be able to stand under the falls.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't really do that at Hazel Falls.
No.
Because it was kind of just coming down between these, like, two rocks.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything.
And it was just very narrow, so the water was coming down a lot faster than it was at Cucumber Falls. Like, it was just a straight drop. Like, literally off the mountain, just a straight drop.
I always forget that it's called Cucumber Falls. You keep saying that. I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's an Ohio Pile.
That's only an hour from my house, and I forget. We do have some falls close to my house, like pretty close. It's called Buttermilk Falls. It's this tiny little trail. Like, it's really not even meant for hiking. It's just kind of like there to be able to walk down to the falls.
Yeah. In a half mile, you're going to turn left on Ellie Road.
Okay. So I have been to Buttermilk Falls, and there's like this like outcrop of, you know, and there's like this place where you could walk underneath it. So you can stand under the falls at Buttermilk, and I have like videos from standing underneath it and like just listening to the water.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so calming. It should be your next left.
My next left.
Route 607. 800 feet. Here we go. Right here. Up here.
Up there.
Yeah. And then it's going to be on your right. 156. They own the farm. This is their farm.
Oh. Well, we are going to
pick up some milk.
Pause here, because I feel like there's still some unsaid
right
things
here. Yeah.
Look, they have little lambs. Look at the little lambs.
The little sheep.
Aww.
So we will catch you all soon.
We'll pick back up in like just a momento.
That was part one of my magical flowing conversation with Kelsey. We talked about so many things. The coffee pot icebreaker, attempting to mask our feelings through walls. Kelsey has very mothering energy, which she did talk about, which is ironic. Not a coincidence that that particular card came out for this episode about, you know, the the universal mother and all her different forms. Of course, we talked about, you know, we're both projectors, so we talked about the dynamic of spending time one-on-one with each other and how the energy is different. Moving through feelings and our magical retreat, our magical log, and my regrets over that, missing that first waterfall and how it led me to a new magical adventure to Hazel Falls, which eventually we figured out, like, that we both have hazel eyes. I'm definitely going to go through some of my photographs and create a post. It is going to have to be a couple posts, because you can only do 10 photos at a time on Instagram. If you're not following me on Instagram, you can find me at intuitive_stardust. And like I said, I will include the Instagram accounts for Kelsey, Jerianne, and Sarah in the notes as well. Oh, and I also have a photo of Kelsey hugging the trail marker, because, you know, it was very important for me to lug my camera 2.5 miles down the mountain and 2.5 miles back up. And I'm so glad that I did. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, taking that car ride with us. And also, I wanted to welcome and thank my new listeners in the UK as well as Denmark. So we also have listeners in Belgium and the Netherlands, and of course, my US listeners. So thank you guys all so much for joining in. It is always a pleasure to feel your energy whenever it is that you end up listening. I can feel it now, and I appreciate you all so much. And stay tuned for part two of my magical car ride adventure with Kelsey. Until then, bye.